May it please the court, Miller Lowry. My name is Michelle Krause. I represent the appellant defendant, Larry Billion. I also represented him throughout the trial proceeding in the district court out of Fort Wayne. We're not here on a sentencing issue today, as the last arguments have talked about, but we're here to determine whether or not the district court was erred in denying the defendant's motion to suppress. There was a search warrant that was issued by the Fort Wayne Police Department in February of 2008, which authorized the search of Mr. Billion's residence.
It wasn't issued by the police department.
You're correct. We
don't allow that.
Well, they'd like that, but you're right, Your Honor. It was issued by a state court. It was presented by Teresa Smith, who was a member of the Fort Wayne Police Department. The search warrant was attacked. The affidavit for the search warrant was attacked by Mr. Billion on essentially two bases. The search warrant affidavit started out with an anonymous tip. It is Mr. Billion's position now, as it was throughout the district court proceeding, that the anonymous tip was not sufficiently corroborated by the investigation of Teresa Smith and the Fort Wayne Police Department. There's a second point.
Counsel, you know, that sounds like a classic line-drawing problem, as the Supreme Court said in Gates. How much corroboration is enough is always a hard question. And that leads me to wonder whether this isn't pretty much within the scope of Leon. Warrant was asked for, it was issued by the state court, there's a hearing in the U.S. District Court, and the U.S. District Judge finds that there was actually probable cause. One would think that that would be quite enough under Leon to show that you can't use the exclusionary rule. How is the officer on the street supposed to know that both the state judge and the federal judge, who had the benefit of briefs and a full evidentiary hearing, were both off their rockers?
Well, in this case, Your Honor, the distinction is that Teresa Smith, who is the affiant for the search warrant, who prepared it, and the argument has always been by Mr. Billion that she recklessly provided information.
I understand that, but the district judge held a hearing and concluded that on all the evidence that he deemed credible and proper, even after excluding the first garbage search, there was still probable cause. Right? And under Leon, evidence is not suppressed unless any reasonable person would have known that there couldn't have been probable cause. How is a reasonable police officer to know that no reasonable person could find probable cause when a U.S. district judge, after a full hearing, found probable cause?
Well, under U.S. versus Dumes, or D-U-M-E-S, which is out of this circuit, 2002 opinion, hindsight is always 20/20. But in that case, this court has determined that if, as in this case, the officer who is seeking the search warrant either intentionally or recklessly provides information, then they can't fall under Leon and they can't fall under the good faith exception.
What was intentional? The thing that I guess bothered me in the affidavit was this reference to the white Cadillac. And entitled, I guess, to Brilliant when the other guy driving it was arrested. Now, that's sort of in the affidavit, and that's later on determined just to be wrong. They didn't know whose car it was.
You're correct, Your Honor. In the affidavit, during the course of the Franks hearing, let me take a step back. The original tip does not mention, it is not written out anywhere that there's a white Cadillac. But Detective Smith testified that her recollection was that she received information about the white Cadillac but neglected to put it into the tip. So then when the affidavit is prepared, again, it is in the affidavit but not in the original tip. An entire year prior to...
What is she saying she got in the tip? Did she say that that was that white Cadillac driven by, what's the other guy's name that got arrested?
No, I believe, Your Honor, that...
The one that was caught with the Cadillac and drugs.
The original tip read, deals in cocaine and marijuana, drives a brand new Caddy. The types of vehicles associated with Mr. Billion in the original tip is Escalade, Buick, Black, Blue. So the original written tip has absolutely no information concerning the white Cadillac. But her recollection during the course of the Franks hearing was, I just forgot to put that in there, and when I took the tip, I received information about the white Cadillac. She also testified...
What information?
That there was a white Cadillac that is associated with Mr. Billion. And so then when she does her first drive-by surveillance of the residence after receiving the tip, she testified that she saw a white Cadillac. In the affidavit, the reference to the white Cadillac is with this Mr. Octavian Reynolds, who an entire year prior was arrested in a Cadillac. Now, it's troubling that the conclusion that the detective reached concerning that Cadillac, the conclusion that she put into the affidavit was, it was the same Cadillac that was at Mr. Billion's house on the one occasion that she saw it. Yet during the course of the testimony, she could not identify that Cadillac. It was a white Cadillac. There's nothing else about the Cadillac seen at the residence on the first drive-by or about the Cadillac Mr. Reynolds was arrested in a year prior that could possibly have connected the two together.
So what does that do to her affidavit?
Well, if we take that out, it yet minimizes the corroboration. And I think what you asked earlier is an issue with the district court. The district court found in its opinion that the paperwork, there was paperwork that was in the white Cadillac. The district court concluded that that paperwork was a registration, but there's absolutely no testimony or evidence of what the nature of that paperwork was. It said that paperwork with Billion's name on it, but that's the extent of the information that was provided during the course of either the affidavit or the Frank's hearing testimony.
This is paperwork discovered when?
During the arrest of Mr. Reynolds a year prior to the tip being received.
So what, is that true or not? That there was something in there. I don't care whether it's envelope or something with his name on it.
We don't know. The government, during the course of the Franks hearing and the hearing on the motion to suppress, never presenting any evidence whatsoever concerning anything about Octavian Reynolds, about the white Cadillac, or about any paperwork that was in the Cadillac that would have linked that Cadillac to Mr. Billion. The only information is what is contained in the paragraph in the original affidavit for probable cause, which was submitted in February of 2008.
Counsel, let me come back to your answer to my question. I've just reread Dooms. Dooms finds, A, that there was probable cause, and, B, invokes Leon to say that even if there weren't, the evidence in Dooms couldn't be excluded. It sounds like you're citing Dooms for the opposite of what it held. What language in Dooms do you think supports your view?
Well, the language in Dooms, which is cited in the brief, although this court's opinion, the conclusion is different, but the language which is cited is... The good faith exception to the search warrant requirement does not apply in cases such as here where the officer seeking the warrant was dishonest or reckless in preparing the affidavit.
It obviously doesn't say such as here because the court found the opposite in Dooms.
Dooms, it is our position that Dooms stands for the proposition that if the officer is intentional or reckless in providing the information to the issuing magistrate, they cannot then fall back on acting in good faith.
What about the trash bag?
I'm sorry?
Trash bag search.
The trash search?
Yeah, I assume. Are you going to say something about that?
I'm into my rebuttal time, if I may proceed. Would you like me to answer?
No, you go in your own time. I just want to make sure you're aware.
Oh, I'm sure Ms. Lowry will be bringing that up. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, Ms. Krause. Ms. Lowry.
Good morning. May it please the court, Mrs. Krause. My name is Leslie Miller Lowry, and I represented the United States. Well, I represent the United States, and I was assigned to the Billion matter from the inception. It is the position of the United States that the anonymous tip that initiated this entire investigation was indeed sufficiently corroborated. As is stated in Gates, it's the major portions of the tip that must be corroborated. The tip came in, said that Larry Billion, living in an addition on the north side of Fort Wayne, was dealing in large amounts of, I believe, cocaine and certainly marijuana, married to a female white, gave the name ERI, and associated the vehicles, the blue vehicle and the black Cadillac Escalade. Well, in an attempt to corroborate that information, Detective Smith looked in the Spillman system, which is a computer database that contains records of contacts individuals have with law enforcement, as well as other identifying information, determined, in fact, that there was an individual, a male black, by the name of Larry Billion, living in an addition on Bent Willow Drive in Fort Wayne, which is on the north side of the city of Fort Wayne, and that there was, and lived on that in that addition on the north side of Fort Wayne. She then, at or near the time that she received this tip, went to the residence on Bent Willow Drive, in fact, did see an older white Cadillac as well as a black Cadillac Escalade that was registered to an Aaron Billion. Aaron Billion is a female white and is the wife of Larry Billion. It was that level of corroboration that then instigated the trash runs. The first one being on January the 16th of 2008.
Back up a little bit. There were a bunch of surveillances as well, drive-bys, right?
Right. They had done
surveillance. Didn't find anything on that.
No.
And then was there a hiatus for a while?
There was a hiatus. They had kind of
see his picture in the paper and reminds them, hey, maybe we ought to be looking at these people.
That's exactly right. They had done the surveillance at around the time that the tip came in August. They corroborated the parts of where Larry Billion lived, who he was married to, the vehicles, but did not see any suspicious activity and put it on the back burner. I went on to other things, and it was Detective Smith and some of the officers seeing Larry and Aaron Billion doing their Black Friday shopping in the newspaper that caused them to want to take another look at them.
What does that have to do with?
Why?
Just reminded them.
I guess it did just, I don't know
it
why.
Reminded them they forgot about him, huh?
Yeah. I'm sure in the rush of other things, they put it on the back burner, and for whatever reason, seeing them in the paper caused them to want to go back and take another look. And when they did that, they went on January the 16th and looked in their garbage. It was the testimony of Teresa Smith that the garbage was set out at the curb like all the other garbage in the neighborhood. In that trash pool, there was less than 1 gram of marijuana found. Clearly not an amount that would support anything but personal use and probably light personal use. It's the second trash run that's done February the 6th of 2008, there's 2.
Between a trash run and a trash search?
No, I guess I'm just using the vernacular. They searched the trash.
Police jargon doesn't help here.
No. The first trash search was January the 16th of 2008. The second trash search was February the 6th. During the second trash search, 2.8 grams of marijuana were found. I think the indication of dealing activity was the fact that the 2.8 grams of marijuana were found inside a crumpled up garbage bag that was inside the main garbage bag in the garbage can. The testimony was that crumpled up bag with the marijuana in the bottom is consistent with the way that bales of marijuana are packaged. Bales of marijuana are certainly consistent with distribution activity.
Counsel, I have a different question for you, and it's one that parties' briefs haven't explored. But it looks like there's some problem in the pre-sentence report in this case and the calculation of the relevant quantity here. The pre-sentence report seems to have operated on the assumption that a pound is the same as 2.2 kilograms, rather than, as is actually the case, there being 2.2 pounds in 1 kilogram. Now, that assumption seems to have multiplied the quantity of marijuana by a factor of 4, roughly. Is this a problem?
I had not noticed that. If the calculations are based on the wrong conversions, then there would seem to be
backward
a problem.
Conversion.
Then there would seem to be a problem. Without taking a closer look at that, I will accept certainly what the court is saying, but if the conversion factor is wrong, it would certainly throw off the result. With regard to the trash search, it is the position of the United States that there is nothing in the record that is credible that disputes the location of the garbage at the time of the trash search. What was produced during the evidentiary hearing, the Franks hearing, was a photograph from Aaron Billion showing trash cans at the top of the driveway. The photograph is undated, and it's certainly taken in daylight, which is not the time that the garbage is collected. So it was my argument at the district court, and it's my argument here, that that photograph really has no, should have no swaying value. Certainly Aaron Billion is not an unbiased participant in all these proceedings, and the photograph does not accurately represent what happens when the trash is collected, because in the exhibit, defense's exhibit, that they attached to, I think it's defense exhibit E, on the continuity with regard to the second trash search, says that it was prepared by someone other than Teresa Smith, that the trash search was done at 3 a.m., which is approximately the time that Teresa Smith testified that they were done, would certainly get asked to her credibility with regard to the totality of the circumstances surrounding the trash search. So the picture by Aaron Billion submitted for evidence doesn't carry much weight in establishing, in fact, that the trash is not at the location that was testified to by the officer.
did Smith participate actively in each search? I mean, at site, gathering it and searching it?
I believe so. Yes. She was at both of the trash searches. With regard to the issue, the Franks issue, it's the government's position that these should have been two separate hearings. The Franks hearing and the motion to suppress hearing are two completely separate issues. The Franks hearing has a completely different threshold in order to even get a Franks hearing than the suppression issue. With regard to the Franks issue, it is the government's belief that there are no material falsehoods in the search warrant affidavit that would affect the finding of probable cause. If the parts that Mrs. Krause took issue with regard to the white Cadillac, are excised from the search warrant affidavit, what you're left with, that everybody's in agreement with, is that Larry Billion lives on the north side of Fort Wayne. There's a black Cadillac associated with their residence that is registered to his wife, and that there was 2.8 grams of marijuana that was found in a trash bag packaged consistent with distribution activity. If you excise everything about Octavian Reynolds and all of the other information from that, as far as a Franks analysis is concerned, the balance of what remains amounts to a finding of probable cause. Separate from the suppression issue, where it's the government's position, again, that there was no Fourth Amendment violation in this case. And we would ask respectfully that the conviction in this case be affirmed.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anything further, Ms. Krause?
Yes.
The only piece of photographic evidence that was submitted by the defendant during the course of these proceedings. Detective Smith did this big dealer investigation. She had no reports. They submitted no diagrams, no photographs, no videotape, nothing. What was submitted, and there's a foundation which every photograph has to come in under, is this a true and accurate representation of, and in this case, the way the trash cans would have been on February 6th in particular, even though it was obviously not taken on that date, the admission of that piece of evidence, a true and accurate representation, it came in under that foundation. So it is an absolute piece of evidence that both the district court and this court may look at. And what Aaron Smith said, and Aaron Billions, thank you, Your Honor.
We appreciate your willingness to take the appointment and your assistance to both your client and the court. The case is taken under advisement.